Hello and welcome to The Check-In, our daily live forum for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thank you for checking in. So this strange new way we're living can be a shock even for us adults, but for kids and students out there of all ages who are suddenly torn from the routine of the school day, this can be a huge strain, particularly on their mental health, on all of our mental health. Students are now home. Graduations and proms are postponed or canceled, and playgrounds are closed. And yet, everyone's continuing to focus on academics. So what is this like for you as a parent? What is this like for you as a student doing school at home? It can be incredibly difficult. Today, we're going to talk with Melissa Maris. She's a clinical community psychologist, a research consultant at the MU School of Education, and an advocate for school mental health. We're talking about maintaining our routine, staying inspired, and staying mentally healthy as students and as parents and families during this time. We're going to talk with Melissa Maris in a little while. You can join the discussion this half hour. Are you a parent or a student, and what challenges are you facing right now? How are you creating structure and some fun in your day and sustaining some inspiration and some routine, whether you're a parent creating this for your family or if you're a student out there? You know, we don't get many of you calling in, but feel free to call us whatever age you are. We'd like to hear what's going on with you. Melissa Maris, welcome to The Check-In. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Melissa, you consult, it sounds like, with school districts across the state. Let me just get the view from your perspective. What has this been like for school districts and students across the state? What are you seeing out there when it comes to all of this disruption in education?
That's a great question. I think disruption is a mild word for what we've been seeing across mm-hmm. the state. By and large, I continue to be really impressed with how schools and communities are responding to what seems like a never-ending cycle of changes and responses. And, I think our schools continue to really focus on supporting young people and families as much as they can, but there's just been so much unpredictability and things have been shifting so quickly. I think it's been a challenge, to say the least. But again, a lot of resilience among our schools and our other organizations. I think folks are starting to really settle into this new normal that we have now in terms of not being in school, not having access to a lot of the same kinds of, you know, community resources that we've gotten used to having. I'm starting to see a lot more now of a focus on how challenging this also is for adults. Immediately folks were focusing on young people, how is this affecting young people, but perhaps not giving quite enough attention to teachers, administrators, and other folks, like many of us, who are working from home and trying to raise families, which is hard. There's some good points, too, but it's a challenge.
Okay, so everything you're saying right now, Melissa, I think will ring true for a lot of us. It's a joy to work at home. It's a huge challenge to work at home. Whatever is going on, it is highly disruptive. Let me just remind everyone, you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA, and we're talking to Melissa Maris, a researcher on students and mental health with MU's College of Education. And let us know how you and your family are staying inspired, how you're staying mentally healthy. We'd love to hear from you if you're a senior who's supposed to be going to prom and supposed to be graduating. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a college senior. We're going to talk about loss and how we also cope with this throughout what's become of this very surreal school year. And by the way, listeners, we will get back to Dr. Sampson, I believe, as soon as we figure something out technically. So there's a little suspense for us, but we will get back to Dr. Sampson to hear about the view from the ER and what's going on with that. Melissa, you're talking about resilience. Families are adjusting to the new normal. We don't have any choice. What are you seeing in terms of innovations and good practices, both for families and maybe for districts, who I feel like this is a real struggle for school officials as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in general, families, young people, parents are resilient at heart. I think folks, when your back's against the wall, you figure out what has to happen and you take care of that. I've seen a real push more towards getting back to the basics. I think right at the beginning, there was a lot of let's put school online, let's have kids, you know, try to do school like it was, but just doing it at home. And now I think it's you know, more basic. So how do we set up, you know, these feasible routines and structures? What do our days look like? What can we accomplish? And let's give ourselves permission to take it easy. I see this a lot with adults, too. I think at first there was a big focus on, well, you know, I'm at home now with my family. This is the time that I should, I don't know, renovate my house or start a new hobby or, you know, lose a bunch of weight or learn something new. And I think folks are settling into it more and realizing that this is a marathon, not a sprint, and that we need to be doing things every day to take it easy on ourselves, to give a lot of grace and space to ourselves and everyone around us. But, you know, again, focusing on the big picture points, structure and routine are huge. They're huge for all of us, huge for young people. And how do we find hope and optimism? There's a lot of hard, negative, real things out there right now. And so how do we find the positives in some of this? Acknowledging the hard stuff, and that's important, but also finding the sunshine through the clouds.
All right. So a lot of what you're saying, Melissa Maris, makes sense. Allow yourself to have some fun, find some inspiration to relax a little bit. We have to allow ourselves to do that. You're hearing it from the professional now. Melissa Maris is an expert in student mental health and learning and advises schools on these things. And today she's advising us in the check-in. So what is your question for Melissa about how to find that routine, how to find that inspiration for your family or as a student? Let us know what you're doing that's working. Have you started a home project, as Melissa was suggesting? And as promised, I think we can go back to Dr. Christopher Sampson, who I believe is now with us and can give us a quick view, if you don't mind holding on with us here for a minute, Melissa. Let's get a quick view from the emergency room. Dr. Sampson, welcome back to the check-in.
Great. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, thanks for your patience while we got you on the line. Dr. Sampson, let me just check first with a general question for you. What is the view from your ER? How are things going, and what would you like us to keep in mind right now?
I think just to remind people, we are still seeing patients with COVID-19, so it's still out there in the community. I think, again, the social distancing has been working and keeping our numbers low and flattening the curve. But again, this is kind of a long process and unfortunately one where you may not see immediate results. So it is a long time we may have to be kind of living this new norm.
All right. Good reminder there. You mentioned that you are seeing COVID patients come through. One thing, we're doing a lot of reporting on the numbers in Boone County. Our reporter, Sebastian Martinez Valdivia, is doing this. We're wondering, are you seeing patients, or you have patients at the moment in the ICU? And if so, how many are on ventilators?
I don't know the exact numbers right now. I know our numbers definitely have decreased overall, as that's kind of fits with the state numbers as well, as we've seen a decline.
Okay.
But again, yeah, we are still seeing patients who are testing positive.
All right. Are you seeing people from outside of Boone County?
Yes, for sure. We, serving as a referral center for most of mid-Missouri, we are seeing patients who are coming from other counties that we're treating at our hospital.
Okay. And I know that you all are also coordinating a lot on the testing. What can you tell us about the protocols for testing right now? When do you want to see someone getting tested, and what do we need to know about that process?
So I think testing is very important, and we've actually been pretty lucky here in mid-Missouri that we've had a large amount of testing available. We still are running our drive-through testing, so that's available Monday through Saturday. During the week, people can go from anywhere from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and on Saturdays now it's open from 8 to noon. You can either go to our virtual visit and you see a provider through a FaceTime type app and they can order the test for you, or you're able to just drive up and we have protocols that the nurses are able to operate on to obtain a swab from you that way.
Okay. You know, NPR recently reported and quoted Missouri Governor Mike Parson saying that Missouri is running about 3,000 tests per day. Testing will be a big part of the reopening of society when we're able to think about that. The governor was estimating that we'd need to run an estimated 40 to 50,000. Any thoughts, Dr. Sampson, on whether those numbers sound right and doable at all?
Yeah, certainly. So the numbers that the governor is giving us for overall testing for the whole state, yeah, that is pretty consistent with what our Department of Health and Human Services has been reporting.
Okay.
But yeah, for certain, I mean, testing is the key to getting people back to work, because if you don't know if you've been tested and positive or not, you could potentially go back to work and infect your colleagues and or people you're interacting with. So that's definitely a risk. But yeah, so it's testing is really going to help us kind of reopen our society slowly.
So looking ahead to that, Dr. Sampson, going from 3,000 per day to 40 to 50,000 per day is a huge increase. What would you need? What would our system need to get there?
So that's going to need, I mean, it's a lot of testing, yeah, for certain. And that's going to require lots of supplies. And as we've seen overall with everything involved in treating patients, from PPE to general equipment, is we're using up a lot of supplies. So I know that on the federal level, they're trying to maybe increase production of things simple as swabs that we can use to test people. But yeah, it's going to require a fair amount of equipment in order to meet those high numbers of testing that are required.
All right, you're listening to The Check-In, our live noontime forum here on KBIA, and we're talking with Dr. Christopher Sampson with MU's Department of Emergency Medicine. He's giving us the view from the ER, also letting us know a little bit about the future of testing and how that fits into the overall picture. Give us a call if you have a question for Dr. Sampson, or if you want to join our other discussion that we're also having with Melissa Maris on how you're doing as students and with education. We're talking about it all. Dr. Sampson, we've seen emergency medicine physicians around the country urging people recently that it's good that you're staying home when you can, but also don't avoid necessary procedures, that some people are in some cases avoiding emergency situations where they should be going to the ER. Are you seeing this personally, and what would you urge people to do? How do they know the difference between something that they need to go to the ER for and what they do not need to go for?
Yeah, for certain. We have seen a decline overall in the amount of people who come to the emergency department. Mm-hmm. And some of that has been through virtual visits. But again, yeah, it's really important for the public to know that we're here to treat emergencies. And I think some people may be afraid that by coming to the hospital, they can expose themselves to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But I think the big thing for the public to know is we take many, many steps to minimize people's risk, and that we are there to treat all emergencies. It's not that our focus is entirely shifted to treating COVID-19, but our day-to-day job is to treat things such as heart attacks and strokes, trauma. So if people are at all concerned that they're having any symptoms that would be consistent with those problems, they need to either bring themselves to the emergency department or call 911.
Dr. Sampson, what is the atmosphere like in your emergency room?
I would say still staff morale is very good.
Good.
Yeah, that's, again, through the leadership in our emergency department. And it's also, again, the public support. As I said before, we've had an outpouring of support from the public in Boone County and Columbia through many different ways. I mean, people through food donations, through volunteers offering to make masks and scrubs and anything else. So, yeah, that really does go a long way in keeping the morale up.
All right. Anything, Dr. Sampson, that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you that you think people should know or keep in mind?
No, I think just again to stress to the public, if you are concerned you're having an emergency, the right place to come is the emergency department.
All right. Dr. Sampson, thanks for coming back to the check-in. Please take care.
Okay. Thanks for having me on again. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Again, you are listening to The Check-In on KBIA. Thanks for checking in with us. If you want to talk with us about your reality right now, what you're doing to stay inspired, what you're doing to stay up on your schoolwork, how you're dealing with the loss of so much in your school year. If you have a question or a comment for us, you can check in with us at 573-882-9136. Melissa Maris, thanks for letting us talk to Dr. Sampson there for a moment. Let me come back to you on what you are really looking at a lot in your research and your expertise is the mental health. Now is a really difficult time and an interesting time to be looking at what families and students are doing. What are parents and students doing to mitigate the difficult times right now, the stress that everybody is dealing with?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a lot of stress, and I just wanted to go back and thank Dr. Sampson and all of the folks who are in the ERs, the nursing staff, and the doctors who are addressing COVID in the front lines. But yeah, there is a lot of stress, and it's part of our daily reality now. And I think that's part of the first step, is just acknowledging that it's there. I think a lot of times, especially those of us with children, want to protect children from the things that are going on around us that are hard or difficult. And I think some of us are sometimes a little bit reticent to talk about COVID and the things that are happening. And I think we need to talk about it. I think we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room, that things have changed, and things have changed dramatically, and they changed very, very quickly. We are all aware of that, and young people are aware of that. Even our youngest children know that something's going on. And so when something's going on, we need to talk about it, and we need to name it in a way that's developmentally appropriate, and we need to talk through it. Acknowledge that it's difficult, acknowledge that it's hard. You were mentioning at the top of the show that there are a lot of folks who are grieving right now, and grieving for the loss of really important milestones. So high school prom and graduation, our seniors at MU who had a mm-hmm. different idea of what this was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And that's not happening. And so what we shouldn't do is pretend like it's not happening, or say, you know, hey, buck up, it's going to be okay. But just acknowledging, yeah, this is really hard, and this is sad. And, you know, if we're having big feelings, that's okay. And then what do we do with those big feelings? We acknowledge it, first of all, and then we start trying to figure out how we can cope with it. And, you know, having that routine and structure is a big part of it, having small parts of the day that you can rely on. So whatever that is, if it's getting up and getting dressed, or getting up and taking your dog for a walk, you know, at an appropriate social distance, you know, kind of those standard things that we can build into our schedule on a day-to-day basis can be really, really valuable. Connecting to other people. There are a lot of folks who, you know, are like me and are, you know, kind of at home with young children and a partner, but there are also a lot of folks who are out there by themselves. And so we don't want to make social distance translate into social disconnection. So connecting to other people is really valuable. But it's just kind of that reminder of these basic sorts of things, mm-hmm. connecting with other people, having the routine, taking care of ourselves, giving ourselves a lot of permission to have hard days, because those are coming if they haven't yet. And giving, I think, especially young people a lot of space to have their feelings around all these changes.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. We're talking with Melissa Maris here from MU's College of Education about how we're staying healthy, inspired, mostly mentally healthy, though, in a time of disruption and, let's face it, some downright loss for some of our students. You can join us. Let us know what you're going through and how you're coping with it, whether you're a student or a parent dealing with students or something else. Let us know what you're dealing with. Melissa, let's take a call from Beth. Beth Pike from Columbia. Hi, Beth. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Janet. Great program. I'm a parent of a senior, and, you know, she's missing a lot this season, like all the others are, including the spring sport that she plays, which I think has been especially rough, missing her soccer season. But I keep checking in with her. I say, well, how you doing? And she's almost tired of me asking that. She just says, Mom, she said to me just this morning, Mom, I'm over it. So, she really is. But I just wanted to know about advice going forward and how you would treat an 18-year-old who's living at home and who says, I'm over it.
Great question.
Yeah, thank you, Beth, for that. And congratulations to you and your daughter for this important time and that this important milestone. It is a celebration. And sure, so, you know, there's a time that we can, even with, you know, I have younger children that, you know, they push back and say, yep, I'm okay. Thanks for continuing to ask. I think it's okay to keep asking. I think, you know, continuing to check in. The strange thing about loss and grief is that it comes and goes in waves. And so a lot of folks respond immediately to a loss, and they grieve the loss, and then they pull their coping skills together, and then they seem to kind of move through that grief. For other folks, they don't seem to feel it right away. And later on, it's something that actually comes up and sort of reminds them that feeling is there. And so I think we should expect that that for all of us, our feelings are going to come and go in terms of being harder and stronger or easier at different times. And so I think the most important thing for any young person is just that they know that there are caring adults around them if they need them, and to just continue to be that consistent and reliable person. But I love it that you're asking and you're continuing to check in. I think a lot of times as our young children get older, you know, and they get to that point, they're kind of too cool for school. We forget that they're still our children, and they still need us. They really do, even when they say they don't. But continuing to check in, just letting them know that you're there, and really letting them them take it at their pace. Inviting them to celebrate or commemorate or grieve or have any of their feelings in whatever way makes the most sense for them and is the most appropriate, and just anticipating that it might be a while for people to respond. It might be next year when folks could start to go back to school that they start realizing, wow, this really was a loss. But that's the tricky part about grief and sorrow, is that it's really unpredictable. But I love Beth that you're checking in with her and seeing how she's doing. And I wish you and her all the best of luck. And again, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, Beth, if you don't mind, another question. And let me just say, yes, that's a great answer, Melissa. So I guess the answer is keep asking, even if you get the same answer every time, which is, I'm over it, Mom. So keep asking. Beth, you have a senior, Beth. Have you discussed innovations or workarounds for any kind of graduation celebration? Or is this something that's, I also have a senior. Is this something that's not being discussed yet?
Well, no, we have been, because we were actually, my daughter was going to join with a couple of friends, and we were going to have a little graduation party at Orr Street Studios, where I used to have an office space. So we were going to rent that in May and do that. So now we're talking like, well, if we don't do it in May, we'll see if we can do it sometime through the summer. If there's a way we can do this, if we're still social distancing, let's see if we can still keep that option open. So, you know, because we know that graduation might be completely altered and changed, I wanted to try to at least have some hope that maybe we can still do something kind of special where we can still have a gathering. Maybe it won't be as large. Maybe we can social distance, but still keeping that on the table somehow so that not everything seems to go away.
All right. That sounds good, Beth, and we're having the same exact conversations about the same thing in our house. So thanks for sharing that, Beth. Thank you so much for the call, and please take care. And yes, please tell your talented daughter, congratulations, she's a senior.
And same to yours as well. Thanks, Janet.
Thanks, Beth.
Okay.
Let me just remind people you're listening to our live noontime check-in. We're talking with Melissa Maris from MU's College of Education, and we're talking about the disruptions of this pandemic, specifically how it's affecting student learning, our rituals, our celebrations, and our mental health. You can join the conversation. We've just got a few more minutes, but we can work you in if you want to let us know what's going on with you. Melissa, what Beth is bringing up and you also are mentioning is basically loss, and you've even mentioned the word grieving. Students of all ages and even our college seniors that should be graduating are going to be dealing with this. You've mentioned a little bit, but can you tell us a little bit more about how we can handle and how we can work around or deal with this loss and grieving that we might be experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a part of it is recognizing that it's happening. And so there's been some good stuff that's going around on social media lately that's just saying, you know, if you're feeling really irritated, or if you're having a hard time getting motivated, you know what that might be is stress, or it might be loss and grief. And again, loss and grief affect all of us very, very differently. But I think to some degree or another, all of us are experiencing some kind of loss right now. It's a loss of our typical day-to-day. Some folks are experiencing loss in terms of having loved ones and family ones being hospitalized and dying. And so there's this whole continuum of loss happening right now. And really the way to deal with grief and loss is to work through it. There's no way, under it or around it. You have to go through it. We're going on a bear hunt. That's that children's book. You have to go through it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's acknowledging that it's happening, finding ways to celebrate whatever it was that you've lost. Thinking about high school graduation or prom or other kinds of milestones, you know, we have a lot of educators who are retiring this year, and this is the last time that they'll ever be in a school was, you know, when they were leaving the classroom and exiting before you know, school shut down. There's a lot of loss and grief of what was expected. But thinking about what was the most important about that. So when you talk to a high school senior or you know, your child, what was it about prom or graduation that was the most exciting? What was the feeling or the moment or the picture they had in their head of what that was going to be like? And then what parts of that can we recreate? Mm-hmm. Was it having, loved ones and family members around celebrating their success? Okay, well, we can do that. It's not going to look exactly the same, but we can try to work towards that. And I think for us as parents and just the adults and caregivers, just being really open and flexible to young people talking about their feelings and sharing their feelings when that happens. And so just having a good listening ear for that, that when kiddos are feeling sad or irritated or upset, you know, being willing to hear that and to listen to that. And part of that means that we also have to deal with our own grief and our own loss, and acknowledging that it's there and trying to figure out how we're going to cope with this and move forward. You know, this is hard, but it's hard right now. It's not going to be hard forever. And I love that the caller Beth was saying, you know, we're not sure when this celebration is going to happen, but we are going to celebrate at some point, mm-hmm. right? So even if we can't do it today, we can do it someday, and hopefully mm-hmm. someday soon. We can't do it exactly the way that we are going to, but we'll still do it somehow. Yes. And that's the kind of thinking that I think helps people move through these kind of big, hard feelings.
All right. For those parents who are feeling a little bit alone, I like the way you said, Melissa, social distancing, but not disconnected. But it's a struggle for some people, I'm sure. What resources are out there for people that they can tap into, families, parents, and students, that you would suggest that they keep in mind?
Yeah, I love that you asked this and gave me the opportunity to talk about it. I think the first thing to remember is, you know, when we are feeling that we need help, that great. So now you've recognized that you might need some help. And the good news is there's a lot of help around us that we can access. One of my favorite resources I like to tell people about is the ParentLink Warm Line. And this is a resource that's available statewide. It's actually run through the College of Ed, but you can access it across the state. And it's a warm line. And so it's not a hotline where you would call for child abuse and neglect, but a warm line where anybody can call, even if you're not a parent, if you're just an adult who has a question about a kid, and talk to a caring, educated, competent person about that question. And I think that can be one great resource. Just to be able to talk to someone if you have a question. I get a lot of questions from adults and parents and caregivers, teachers, who say, you know, I'm concerned about my child, but I don't know if it's to that point that I need help. Something like the ParentLink Warm Line can be great. You can actually access them at 1-800-552-8522. And if you go online, you can actually find there's ways to text with them and Facebook message with them. But they're really there to try to be that next level of support when you know that you need some support, but it's not quite an emergency. And that can be a really great resource there. For all of us, it's a national resource, a national crisis line. 741-741 is a text number, is a text crisis line. And if you just text START, the word START, to 741-741, you'll be connected immediately to a counselor, and you can actually start having a conversation. Now, that's more of a resource if, you know, things get to a pretty critical point. But again, there's help out there mm-hmm. if we need it. And I just encourage people to seek that out and ask for it if they do need it.
Okay. Melissa Maris, thank you so much. We appreciate those resources. And please stay well, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's it for today's KBIA Forum, The Check-In. Thank you for checking in with us. You can go to kbia.org to see some of those resources Melissa Maris was talking about. Thanks for checking in today. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.